Some say that we can thank former Mayor Giuliani and the Quality of Life program for the strict policing of loitering laws, from the police murder of Amadou Diallo and others to racial profiling by the infamous Street Crimes Unit. Standing on the sidewalk has been and continues to be dangerous, especially if you are a young person of color. Whether you're hanging out with friends on your block or leafleting peacefully outside of school, you can attract unwanted and unwarranted police attention. Today we are first speaking with Jabril from the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement. What's up, Jabril?
How you doing?
About their campaign to stop illegal search and frisk.
And later we'll be speaking with Kazed Reagan and Louis from Young Organizers United and Louis Reyes from the Yaya Network about the police obstruction of students trying to leaflet and provide important information to their peers on city blocks surrounding the public high schools.
Yeah, just last week, members of the hip-hop group Dead Prez held a press conference after being arrested during a September photo shoot. Jabril from the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement was also a part of the press conference and is here to speak with us about the campaign to stop illegal search and frisk. Thanks for being here, Jabril. What exactly happened with Dead Prez, and how is the Dead Prez incident relevant to the campaign you're working on?
Well, the incident that happened with them was kind of similar to what happens to a lot of young people in the neighborhood. They were minding their business on a sunny Saturday, which was actually September 27th in Brooklyn. They were taking a photo shoot. They had a guy that was taking some pictures of the group. They were kind of assembled on the steps of a building. You know, it wasn't like there was a large group of them. They weren't blocking traffic or anything like that. And basically what happened was two officers came up and began asking for ID without, you know, presenting them with any reason or any violation that they had committed. So Stick's response was to, Stick, who's a member of the group, his response was to ask them, you know, why they had to show ID, because they weren't under arrest. So these officers went across the street, called for backup. And next thing you know, there was like five or six police cars that were there. When the captain who arrived on the scene asked what the situation was, he was told that they didn't want to show ID. And he, you know, his response was, well, just lock them all up. So, you know, four of the members of the group ended up being falsely arrested and held for more than 24 hours. I think they were held for about 36 hours at the 77th precinct. Two of them were actually beaten, viciously beaten by these officers. It was about 20 officers involved in the arrest on four people. So you can imagine it was kind of a crowd, a mob scene. And one of the interesting things about this particular incident was that there were pictures that were taken. You know, the photographer was allowed to keep shooting photographs. And so, you know, we do have documentation of the fact that, you know, they weren't violating any laws and that they were just brutalized. You know, and so what the press conference was about basically was, you know, them making the point that this is not something that they look at as an anomaly, you know, something that actually has happened to them before. A year ago, they were attacked by police like a block away in the same exact location. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like it's a chronic problem that you see happening in, you know, neighborhoods where they feel people are not organized. They feel people aren't educated. You know, the police have made a decision that they're going to violate laws. You know, they've made a clear, conscious choice that, you know, they're not going to respect the Fourth Amendment. They're not going to respect people's personal rights, people's civil rights or human rights. And, you know, they're going to do whatever they have to do to service, you know, whatever their crime fighting goals are. You know?
And so is it legal for a police officer to stop anyone on the street and ask them for ID?
It's legal for the police to question you, to ask your name, and to if you're acting in a suspicious manner, to ask your whereabouts. But actually possessing ID or not possessing ID is not a crime. You know, if you happen to be walking out on the street and you don't have a wallet on you, there's nothing illegal about that. You know, and I think most people recognize that you shouldn't be arrested, you shouldn't be detained in any way just for not possessing ID or just for not wanting to show it. And, you know, that's really one of the major issues in our campaign, because, you know, it deals with people's basic rights to freedom, people's basic rights to privacy. I mean, I think most people know, you know, you as a private citizen, you know, have the right to keep, it's like you don't have to walk out with your bank card, you know, displayed on your shirt or anything like that. So for the same, you know, with the same ideology, you don't have to identify yourself to officers, you know, give up your information of your whereabouts or whatever, unless you've actually been suspected of some kind of a criminal activity, which is not the case in most situations that we've come across.
It must be difficult. Like, what's the reasoning that police officers say? You know, it seems like they basically can use the argument that there was you were looking suspicious and that you could, you know, you were engaging in some kind of activity that drew their attention to you. What is it that people can really do, and how clearly are those distinctions made? Are the police officers required to have proof of that?
Well, I think what it is, you know, they always have the right to use whatever justification they can. For instance, let's say there was one car stolen in the last week. You know, they can stop every car in the neighborhood and say, we're looking for a car thief. You know, and it's just, you know, I think that they stretch the definitions of crimes. They stretch definitions of people they're looking for to encapsulate anybody in the neighborhood. So, you know, we've come across officers clearly, you know, violating people, just grabbing people out of their cars, searching them, you know, not even displaying ID, not having any kind of license plate on their vehicle. And their response to us is always, well, you know, there was a shooting in this neighborhood 2 days ago and we're investigating it. Or, you know, they have some kind of a justification. But the problem is about methods. You know, when you go about searching for criminals, you know, it's not legal to use racial profiling. It's just not. I mean, obviously, if you have a description of someone, you know, looking a certain way, then you can follow that description. But to just stop everyone in the neighborhood for ID just because they're young or they dress a certain way is illegal. You know, and New York City actually has adopted a policy against racial profiling. The government has supposedly stopped racial profiling in the federal law enforcement. But, you know, it's a consistent problem because there's so many ways that you can redefine racial profiling. You can look at statistics and say, well, this is a high crime neighborhood, so therefore we have the right to be more aggressive, you know. And what it really amounts to is the same thing. It's an unequal application of the law, and it's selective enforcement. And that's the issue that we're really, really concerned about, because generally the people we've come across who are violated, who are stopped and who are, you know, physically manhandled by police, are regular people. You know, they're going to and from their homes, they're working. You know, it's not the drug dealers, it's not the gun runners who are getting caught most of the time. It's just regular folks who have to deal with the humiliation of, you know, having someone hop out of a car and just, you know, physically touch you and grab you in all sorts of ways. And, you know, that's really what we're trying to defend our community against.
And you've talked about people in the neighborhood, you talked about the community, you've said that this is occurring in neighborhoods where people aren't organized, but people aren't organized necessarily in the Upper West Side or Upper East Side. What is the neighborhood? What is the community that you're talking about?
Well, you know, I think when I say not organized, I also mean, you know, just like certain situations in our neighborhoods where you have a low incidence of property ownership, I think is a real big issue. I had a meeting this week with a group called Picture the Homeless, and, you know, they're going through the same similar sorts of issues with homeless folks who are constantly being arrested for not having ID. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, if in this city, if you're homeless, jobless, you know, you don't have any money in your pocket, you are basically a modern day slave. There's absolutely nothing you can do. I mean, you can go to the shelter and then, you know, you can leave, but you can't, you know, there's no way for anybody to make any kind of progress in that situation. So why would you penalize somebody, you know, with jail time just for not having ID? And, you know, they're actually organizing a bill against the fact that, you know, homeless people are being forced to go to jail. And not only that, but the benefit cards, which are given out by the state, you know, which is acceptable state identification for, you know, money transactions, for bank transactions even, is not being accepted by police officers. You know, New York City Police Department is the only agency that doesn't accept a benefit card as ID. And so, you know, and I think the reasoning behind that, they're saying, is that a benefit card doesn't have your address on it. So, you know, they can't prove whether you live in this neighborhood or not. But, you know, that's not really the issue. The issue is the state has, you know, given this person, they've issued identification, and it should be accepted. A person should not have to go to jail after producing state-issued ID. I mean, you know, and these are just small issues that are happening, but I think we see all of the different movements uniting because, you know, it's the same attack, basically, that's happening to homeless people on a I think on a higher level than what's happening to people who just live in poor, low-income neighborhoods. But really, it's the same thing. I mean, it's like different degrees of the same problem, the same beast, which, you know, people are luckily coming together and organizing collectively around.
And can you just, before we have to wrap up, can you describe the organizing that you are doing with the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement? Tell us a little bit about the campaign.
Sure. We've actually been involved in doing work against police brutality for a couple of years. We started doing patrols in the neighborhoods about 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, we go out weekly, basically watching the community, you know, trying to see what the cops are doing. And if we see them actually violating people, if we see them, you know, stopping people in an unjust manner, we have volunteers who are trained to use video cameras to document and prevent the police from you know, jacking people up, basically. And so what we do is we ride around with information that we give to people about knowing your rights, about what to do if you're in a police encounter, you know, how to remain calm, what things not to say to further incriminate yourself. And then on top of that, you know, we actually try to assist people in filing complaints, you know, filing lawsuits against the city when necessary, because a lot of people don't have access to just certain basic information about, you know, how to reach the Civilian Complaint Review Board, how to get a lawsuit started. A lot of these things are actually pretty easy processes, but, you know, without the money, without the knowledge, a lot of people are so busy in their daily lives, so shell-shocked by the daily reality of life that, you know, they don't think about complaining when something happens to them. They just want to get it over with.
Right.
You know, so we try to assist people with that, and we also go around and do workshops to any group who is interested. You know, anybody out there who's interested in getting a Know Your Rights workshop, they can call us at our office, which I'll give you the number, is 718-254-8800. My name is Jabril again. You can call, ask for myself or Monifa. And, you know, we go out, we give this information out to the community free of charge, because it's real important that people know, you know, exactly what their rights are. Because, you know, when you have that foundation to stand on, you can confront an officer in a different way. You know, if they come up to you, start putting their hands on you, then you automatically know that something bad is happening because they violated a certain procedure which they have to follow. You know, they don't have the right to just physically come up and grab people. They have to ask certain questions. If there's suspicion, then they have the right to go further. There are about four levels that they're supposed to take before they actually stop and frisk somebody. And if people know that, you know, it helps them a lot in these situations.
Can you give that number one more time if people want to get in touch, and your website?
Sure. They can call us at 718-254-8800. Once again, that's the number for the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement. And our website is www.mxgm.org. They can reach us and email us there as well.
Okay, thanks, Jabril. Well, actually, just to end, a note to end on, what can you briefly describe the goals of the campaigns? Are there demands that are being made?
Well, the campaign with Dead Prez specifically is demanding that the officers involved be removed. There were two officers who initially called in the complaint, and there was a captain named Mangan at the 77th Precinct. And, you know, he's the one that gave the order that they all be arrested. So, you know, the first demand is that he be removed, as well as the other officers. There were about 20 officers that were involved. They're also demanding retribution in the form of payment for their false incarceration, as well as other numerous demands, like an independent body, you know, a body from our community that will oversee the police department and actually launch an investigation into the 77th precinct. You know, just to give a little history, the 77th is one of the most scandalized precincts in Brooklyn. They had the Buddy Boy scandal back in the late 80s, where officers were known for selling drugs. They would take down a drug spot and then sit in the spot and sell drugs for hours, you know, commit all kinds of murders. They were shaking down drug dealers. And, you know, this is part of the history, part of the culture that's existed in that precinct. And I think what we find is that it's still there, the same brazen lack of respect for the community, the same attitudes that were there in the past are still there. So we're demanding that those officers be removed, that retribution be paid, and that all charges be dropped. One of the four people that was arrested was actually charged. The other three were let go out of the back door, you know, which is proof that there was no reason for them to ever be arrested in the first place. But one person, his name is Didon, he's part of Dead Prez, is actually facing a second-degree assault charge. The officers are trying to claim that he harassed and menaced them on the street when, you know, they never gave any reason why he was stopped or they interfered with him in the first place. So, you know, we're going back to court, actually, for Didon's case on December 10th is the next court date. And, you know, we invite people to come out, pack the courtroom. And there probably will be press there covering this event as well. So December 10th is the next day we'll be going back to court.
And we will definitely keep you posted on that. You are listening to Rise Up Radio on WBAI 99.5 FM. It is just past 11:30. We've been speaking with Jabril from the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement. And we'll be back after this.
I am coming to the realization of mind-blowing contemplation over the sensation of culture miscegenation. It's the creation of diversity. My mind receives knowledge like a pupil matriculated at a university, thirsty for ignorance being bliss. You insist that'll be easy if you didn't resist the majority regardless. You still remain together on the inside like estrogen in a sorority at out of place like 10 million ovaries and that one testicle being a minority, but you are not a testicle, but a spectacle within the eyes, dressed by spectacles, analyzing self like a virgin being non-secular, waiting to tie the knot. And not giving her jewels freely like 70s Caucasian persuasion growing pot in the backyards. Your life seems ironic. Like hood rats with business cards. Like Viagra and making a dick hard. Or senior citizens being security guards. You are not secured. Watching yourself behind yourself like a dream obscured. Desperate like an AIDS patient wanting a cure and secure. Like an adolescent girl who had trains ran through her wanting to be pure. Eyes still closed. You're lured to a place where people have featureless faces. When you turn your head, you feel your brain make space within its space. Each time you blink, your eyes move at a different pace. Is it really that deep? Emotionally steep, like skiing through a tree, down of internal bleeding, soul seeping into the dichotomous afterlife after life has ended. Depending on how much you internalize, your body begins to regret like catching an STI. C used to be known as STDs, but not every infection is a disease that you catch quick, unexpectedly, like a sneeze provoked by dust breeze that seizes your heart as if your soul was due, which is the popular reason people say bless you when they have no clue what to do, but they do because it's a respectful thing to do by norm. Now, we're back to the situation. Before you experience persuasion of your thoughts, getting caught by the thoughts, getting caught like dream catchers, capturing interesting dreams, seems your eyes gleam under the light, which might mean that you're under the influence. You lie back. Ah. Eyes slowly open. Watching the ceiling drip as the floor separates and slips to take a sip. Confirming that this was be the illest acid trip. Paralyzed like rips and vaginal lips in West Africa. You're convinced that this would be the last time, like being convicted of a crime in time to get caught by the cipher. Your mind confused trying to cipher hieroglyphics on an impotent dick. All of a sudden your thoughts click, then disperse while the nerves helps your body lift into the hearse.
You're listening to Rise Up Radio on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. Listener-sponsored, commercial-free community radio. This is Saki, and that last track was Lethal Injection by Delicious Kim, and that can only be found on our double CD. For you, only for $80. $80?
$80.
$80.
The
only
low
$80.
Price of $80.
By calling in 212-209-2950. Stay tuned. After the break, we'll be speaking with Luis Reyes and Kazed Reagan. I might be messing up his name. Kazed. Youth Organizers United. They're representing YOU and the Yaya Network. So stay tuned.